very busy. Many important matters require king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am
king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again when I am
your fingers or your
king.
Doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
Stupid girl.
Your fingers or your tongue. I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me as always is
Catfish.
Catfish, we are getting together for the first time in at least 20 minutes to talk about the Game of Thrones Season 8 trailer. Are you excited?
I have so much to say about it that I have not yet said, and so much to say about it that I have already said.
Ooh, those are two different things for sure. Mm-hmm. Everybody, we are the Joffrey podcast, first of his name, first in your hearts, a Game of Thrones podcast with a Joffrey attitude and a touch of Missandei. And a bunch of other things. You can find us on Twitter at DoublePHQ, on Instagram at DoublePHQ, on Facebook, just Facebook.com/DoublePHQ, and on YouTube, where you actually have to do some serious searching. Just search Double P Media and then the Joffrey Podcast. We'll come up one way or another there. Also, we have a website, DoublePMedia.com. That's where you can find out about all of us. If for somehow you're brand new to the Double P family, please subscribe. However you're listening to this, we would love to have you become one of our, what I like to call, double L's.
Double L's?
Well, Catfish, here for the final season, I think the people who've put up with our ridiculousness for so long, we need to call them double L's loyal listeners.
Oh, they certainly are loyal, especially if they're listening to this podcast again.
Right.
And I'm not talking about from season 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. But again, for season 8.
That's right. Today, we're going to be doing one of our infamous, one of our tragically long frame-by-frame analysis of the brand new Game of Thrones trailer. We've been doing this for a while to take you behind the scenes. Way back when, some people said, oh, we're going to do a frame-by-frame breakdown of the Game of Thrones trailer. Yeah. I think it was season 4, but they weren't doing
it.
No,
they didn't do it.
No, they weren't doing it. Not frame by frame. They were doing it kind of shot by shot, scene by scene. So we decided...
That's not frame by frame.
No, we decided that His Grace would not take any shortcuts. He would actually look at this darn thing frame by friggin' frame.
Now, Bubba,
yeah.
For years and years,
and
we've
years.
Had this friendly discussion / rivalry. We've almost come to blows. I did bring out the crossbow one time.
Yep.
To figure out how many frames there were actually per second. But we can put all that aside this year.
Leave it.
You have actually gotten, put it, take it out, get it out of here, just like the cats in King's Landing.
So listeners.
You have answered this question.
What question have I answered?
How many frames are there in this trailer for season 8 of Game of Thrones?
In Catfish, I answered it in the only way I knew how. By randomly picking a size of trailer in YouTube, in this case, the 720 version of the trailer in YouTube, and downloading that and then spitting that out frame by frame. Note, if you watch the trailer on your HBO subscription on a normal television here in North America, you're seeing approximately 30 frames a second. If you're watching it on your telly in the UK or somewhere else, you might be seeing it at 25 frames a second. But I'm pretty sure this version of the trailer and the frames we'll be referring to today are 24 frames. And so how many frames do we have, Catfish?
Bubba, we have 1,531 frames to discuss.
That is an awful, awful lot. What have we done? But because other people will only break it down shot by shot or, you know, image by image, we're going to one-up every Game of Thrones media outlet out there and break it down frame by frame. And you know
People are going to miss some things.
Yes. If they don't look at each frame individually, that's correct.
Exactly. Because there might be some things inserted between the frames. And if you haven't broken it down the way we do, you won't know if we're lying when we tell you that there's something inserted between the frames that you're missing.
It moves too quick for your eye to notice.
That's right. Exactly. There may be some hints. For anyone who is new to the Joffrey podcast, you know that, you know, a lot of people in the last few years have finally come around to how great and wonderful Joffrey is. And so there's a lot of people out there, but we were on the vanguard of this.
Oh yeah.
We led the charge for Jack Gleason's eventual return in season 8 to pick up the pieces.
There is no way that a Joffrey podcast is going to march behind a vanguard led by a Glover, a.k.a. Matt's GOT audio blog. We're in the vanguard.
And we are in the vanguard. So that's why we take this seriously, this frame by frame.
This is it. The only thing we take seriously, and Catfish, let's just get right to it. If you happen to be watching this on Facebook and YouTube, it's either going to crash or I'll be bringing up each frame so you can follow along and look at each frame we're talking about. So let's go ahead and put this on air.
So we won't actually then be able to lie to them about Joffrey showing up in interstitial frames.
No, we'll just be lying to the people who aren't watching this on Facebook or YouTube.
Okay, great. So for anybody watching on Facebook Live, just go along with it.
All right. So here we are, Catfish. Oh, I think I covered up the most important part. We're on frame number one. And so what does this frame, I'll describe it for anybody on the audio podcast, what is this frame, which is an almost black screen, but in the middle of the screen you can see it's kind of a little bit lighter. The letters HBO with a registered trademark symbol right in the upper right corner of the O, and then down in the lower right-hand corner there's a ghosted image of HBO. What do you think this is trying to tell the viewers? Any clues about season 8?
Well, we all know that one of the things that Joffrey is famous for is his skills with the crossbow.
Right.
And as you can see here with the HBO, they have made it so it looks like a crossbow target there. So right off the bat, they're giving us the clue about Joffrey's return.
Oh, yeah. For sake. Now, I would say that this frame number one, and we're going to break them all down, I would say that this first frame is really just saying HBO Home Box Office is what HBO was originally titled as way back when. And I think they're trying to get people to remember, hey, Game of Thrones airs on HBO's. Let me say that if you've seen this trailer forward, you know that kind of lighter area right by the H and the B that goes up and down the screen, that is a blurred image of a face of a character who's a double S.
Double S?
A surly Stark. It's Arya Stark in this case, but that's her just barely, you know, which is less black. It's that little smudge right behind the H and the O. So that's frame number one, and we're going to break them all down. How many again? How many left to go, Catfish? What's the countdown?
I believe we have over 1,500 left.
Listen,
so
as the
get cracking.
As the numbers get smaller, the frames get bigger. Okay, so let's...
There are no small actors, only more frames.
All right, so let's go to the next frame, and I'm actually going to jump ahead to frame 00003, the third frame in this. So okay. Frame 2 was too similar to frame 1. So here we are on frame 3, and honestly, it's probably identical to frame 1. But when I look at this, I see those letters HBO, and I think what they're trying to tell us about season 8 is Hodor been othered. Meaning that Hodor was a good guy, Willis, we like to call him, got attacked by the White Walkers, killed, we assume brought back to life and turned into one of the Whites, their army of the dead. In the book, they call him Others, so this HBO to me stands for Hodor been othered.
Wow, that's taking quite a bit from it. I like that.
Okay, let's go to the next frame, and once again, we're going to kind of only do the odd frames, we apologize. Here we're on frame 5, Catfish. What do you think this HBO tells us? I was thinking that when I look at this, I'm like, what is it trying to tell us about season 8? And I see this HBO and I go, House Baratheon, ouch. Because they're gone, except for Gendry. HBO, it's getting us ready for season 8. What do you see in frame 5 here, Catfish?
Well, you know what? I saw the same thing you did in frame 5. But I saw something different in frame 7.
Oh, okay. Let's get ahead to that. Boy, we're going fast now. Here we are. We're on frame 7. Tell us about it.
All right. Well, what it looks like is it's saying the same thing, HBO.
Right.
Right? But
on black.
As you remember, you know, there was a lot in the first few years, a lot of sex position
in
the show.
Mm-hmm.
Where they would try to do an info dump while people were getting busy so as not to bore people.
Oh, yeah.
I think what they're trying to tell us is they're going to get back to some of that in this season because the HBO here stands for Hard Bodies Ogle.
Ooh, we're going to ogle some hard bodies, just like we're back in season one with Sex Position, Catfish.
Exactly.
You know what? I think we should have put a spoiler warning on this as we break it down. I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead to frame 9 because I got to be honest, this is one of my favorite frames in the entire trailer. Now, people watching on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter might say this looks identical to all the others. And it does. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I see this HBO here on frame 9 of the trailer, and I just think to myself, this stands for Harry Bran Order. Because Bran, you know, he's going to have to start shaving. You know, he's a three-eyed raven, and he is going to start controlling people. Who's to say Bran isn't going to be able to raise the dead? Maybe all those Starks down in the crypts who have swords by their crypt. Who's to say Bran, like the Night King, couldn't warg into them, raise these dead, and come back and defeat the Night King, kind of like in The Lord of the Rings, you know, and I didn't read the books, I just saw the movie, but in The Lord of the Rings, didn't they go get some ghosts and say, hey, ghosts, come help us defeat these people at the White City? See that?
I mean,
it's all right here in frame 9.
Bringing it all that was frame 11.
Oh,
was that frame 9?
Oh, wait, it is. No, you're right. It was frame 11. So let's go forward to frame 13. And
now frame 13.
Yeah.
To me, what it's saying here is, you know, there's going to be a shocking surprise.
Yep.
This season, not for us.
Okay.
But for John. And so, what the HBO stands for here is, he's boning his O-aunt.
His O-aunt. So that has like a little Valerian in it.
Because
O-aunt is Valerian for aunt. Love it. Very, very, very disturbing. Let's go forward to frame 15, and now look at it. It's HBO's in white on a black background, except for the smudge of Arya blurriness there in the middle. To me, it says it says that it's the long night for the blackness, but also it's the cold and white of the winter with the White Walkers. I love it. Let's go to frame 17. Boy, it's so generally looks the same here as HBO. Any thoughts on frame 17, Catfish?
In this one, what it's trying to do is it's trying – there's some characters that we've lost. We think we've lost and we've come back to again.
Right.
And in this one, it's trying to tell us – it's a little statement. What would happen is if you took a little trip and did some eating at an inn, and this stands for Hot Pies Bread – ooh.
Delicious. Why are they spoiling, giving away so much of season 8 in this trailer is what I want to know.
It's there only if you see it.
It is there. I've jumped ahead, believe it or not, to frame 23. Frame 23 here, Catfish.
Okay, yeah.
It's because the HBO logo finally starts to get a bit blurry. It's like blurring up. It's like the clouds and mist are moving in as the Night King and his army of whites attack. Here, jumping ahead to frame 27. Look at how it's so blurry. HBO looks like a bunch of snowflakes, which is what will be when we cry because Game of Thrones is gone. It's incredible.
Yeah, well, that's a problem with all you millennial snowflakes.
Well, I'm a millennial. Why are you ripping us, Catfish? Oh, so tough. I should say it's as we go forward. Look, here at frame 29, it's completely blurry. You can't make out anything. Mm-hmm. But it's almost
it's like a whiteout.
Right, but it's like a rack focus. And here, jumping ahead to frame 35. So we're about a second and maybe a third of a second into the trailer. And here we see her, Arya Stark. Her eyes are closed. Her skin is glistening like she's been sweaty. You can see some bruising in this frame. What do you think about frame 35? And what do you think about Arya as a whole going forward, Catfish?
You know, as I was thinking about this very carefully, and it's shocking to see her. So far, we have seen Arya become a very strong woman who's not afraid of anything. And,
right.
All of a sudden, she's a big old... Double S.
Double S?
Yeah, Stark scaredy cat.
Interesting how you flipped it around. She's not a scared Stark. She's a Stark scaredy cat. Love it.
Yeah.
As we jump ahead to frame 37, What's interesting, and Catfish, we should let our listeners know if they don't already, you're a professional actor. I mentioned that we started in Her Eyes Were Closed, and throughout the next several frames, Arya's eyes are going to open and close, open and close. So if you're an actor and you're trying to give across that you're a scaredy cat like Arya is in this scene, is that a technique would you use? Because she really does here. I've jumped to frame 39. Her eyes are completely open for 39, 40, 43. Her eyes are open, but they're going to start closing here. You know, just is that something that people do? What do you think? What do you do to convey being afraid?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, it's the opposite of more, I think, of if you're going to portray a strong character is that you're not going to blink, because the blinking does show weakness and being afraid.
Okay, so look at how quick this goes. On frame 57, her eyes are closed again. By 59, they're back open. What could Arya be so afraid of, Catfish? We haven't talked about this. So Arya is here. Once again, she looks either dirty or bloody or bruised or all three of the above. What could you imagine? What would make Arya, who we saw become a faceless man, become a stone-cold, emotionless assassin, what could scare her so much, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was – at some point, they had tried to convince us last year that she was ready to take down her own sister. Now, I believe that her personality, that she would have done that. I thought the clumsy plotting led me to believe that's not what was happening. But her personality was so much that we would believe that she would take out her own sister. It's so clear the only thing that she would be afraid of at this point is it's not a White Walker. It's not, an undead dragon. It's not even an undead Hodor. Been in a single that goes for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, at DJ Hodor's rave. It just won't end.
Yeah.
We need a bathroom break, Hodor.
It's clearly Joffrey Baratheon.
You think that King Joffrey has come back. Arya realizes that he's going to smite the traitors, and that's what has her so scared.
Yeah. And I just want to be clear. You know, some people might be a little confused here. They might think, oh, you're talking about an undead Joffrey? You're talking about a White Walker Joffrey? No.
No?
As we all know, Joffrey faked his own death to go behind the scenes and root out the usurpers one by one.
I have been, as you've been talking, Catfish, I've been just mesmerized, because hearing that King Joffrey would do that to save the kingdom is incredibly, incredibly powerful. I've also been going frame by frame, and I hope everybody's been noticing, she is just always, you know, always blinking, always kind of breathing heavy as someone who is a double S Stark scaredy cat. Finally here at frame 105, so this is, you know, about 3.5 seconds into the trailer, if I'm doing the math right on this, we can see her face turns to our audience, it turns to the right, to her left, and she's like, it's time to book it. And then we get a close-up here at frame 107 of the, as best you can, I'll try to zoom in on it for people who can see, we get a image of her bruised and bloodied forehead right above her eye there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If whoever she's been running from, this chase has not done her well.
Mm-hmm.
Here she is. She's in a hallway. We should assume, based on the brickwork, which I'm running my mouse over right now, or the stonework, excuse me, that this is Winterfell. And she is running. There's some lanterns, whatever you would call it, giving a little bit of light to this. Now we're behind Arya. She's running by windows. She's running down hallways. This is a good shot of her. Let me go back to this. That was a great shot of her at frame 137. Look at how scared she looks. Once again, that's, to me, the fact that they've built up Arya to be this super assassin, and to see her so scared. I've seen some people say maybe she's running from Jack and Hagar or the Waif because she knows what they would do to her, that she's been using their training kind of for very personal reasons, like she did with the Freys.
Come on.
Yeah, I think that, sure, it could happen, but it wouldn't happen here in Winterfell. It wouldn't happen so early in the season, and I think most of these frames do come from the first couple of episodes.
Well, I mean, let's face it, I'm not sure how it's going to be handled in the books, and there probably should be some sort of repercussions, but I feel like if there would be some kind in the eighth season that it would kind of slow us down. I mean, we had kind of like a forward momentum. You know, wouldn't it be weird to see, don't you think, to see Jockin back again and to have that storyline come back?
Well, part of me kind of wants it to come back so it could feel like it has more, like it had a more of an ending, that storyline. It felt like mm-hmm. she went away to Braavos, and at a certain point she just was like, okay, I'm done. Bye, guys. That's just me. I understand your feelings. For everybody listening to this, please tweet at us, go to our Facebook page, comment on the YouTube thing. How do you feel like? Do you feel like the you want to see Jockin again and have the Faceless Man story kind of end? Or are you like, we're done with it? We've got bigger fish to fry, and I mean the Night King and the Army of the Dead. Let us know. We're on frame 145, and it finally cut to outside.
I mean, we're moving right along.
Yeah, we cut to outside, and you can there see the profile of Davos Seaworth. I've said on another preview podcast that we did, Catfish, that, you know, I want to be shocked. And so one of the things that I thought, well, how could they shock us? One of the things I thought is that they keep bringing up Davos. I'm not much of a fighter. And then Tormund says, no, you're not. And he really hasn't done anything in any of the fights he was in the Battle of Blackwater. He got blown off the boat, really, before he did any fighting. In the Battle of the Bastards, he was in the fight, but I don't think we saw him beat up anybody. He didn't go north of the Wall in Pat Spinagle's infamous White Heist. So maybe they keep saying, oh, I'm useless in a battle, because he'll do something heroic in a battle, like something crazy, like kill the Night King. I that would shock me. Maybe that's why I'm predicting it. What do you think about old Davos Seaworth? Here we are on frame 155, Catfish. What do you think he's got going in season 8?
Well, his name isn't Davos Fightworthy. So
what? It isn't?
It's not. It's Seaworthy. So unless he's on the ocean, he's not worth the knuckles he rolls dice with.
Okay, I want to say real quick that as we're going, I think you saw this, Catfish. We have some double L's.
Double L's.
Loyal listeners watching along here. I think this is on the Facebook page. We've got one of our true hero listeners, Holly Huntpants, who's saying, y'all are insane and I love you guys. Thank you so much. If anybody is listening to this live, don't suffer alone. Write in the chats. Write to us and let us know that you're doing it. So Davos up on the battlement. He's not wearing a hat. How cold is it? You know, none of these people are like, oh, you don't want to put on a hat?
I mean, you know, what's he worried about? Frostbite?
Yes. Why not frostbite, you know? All these scenes kind of begin and end in black. So here at frame 173, it's gone back down to black again as we travel along this
lonely path. We did not get very much of Davos in this shot, for sure.
Okay, then
now, one thing I'll say this trailer, though.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Just sort of general overall. I mean, I feel like they actually showed us more for this season's trailer than last season's trailer. Now, we actually were able to figure some things out from the frame-by-frame of last season's trailer.
Yeah.
That were some pretty big reveals. And I don't know whether we're going to find that tonight. But it feels like, you know, they gave us a lot of new stuff here tonight. Did you feel that way about the trailer? Or did you think they just gave us a mishmash of stuff?
Let's go back to season 6. They couldn't reveal that Jon Snow was going to come back from the dead. So that trailer didn't show a lot. In the end of season 6, the infamous episode, The Winds of Winter, which I love so much, which featured the blowout prizes at the Sept, they were never going to show that. They were going to always hide that explosion of the Sept and even kind of anything around it. They were going to hide that in the trailers.
But we noticed that in the trailers.
Well, we noticed clues that were pointing it to it. Yeah, we did. That's true. Anyway, sorry. Let's go along here at frame 177. We've jumped back inside to Arya still running. We see, once again, one of these, English bad, but one of these lanterns as she is running. Now,
one more quick question about this trailer, though.
Sure.
I've seen a lot of complaints about this, and I wonder if about how dark everything is in the trailer. And my question to you is everything that dark in the actual show, or did they darken it to sort of hide things in the trailer?
Well, I've heard one other podcast actually suggest, oh, they're darkening it in the trailer to make it more dramatic. And I believe that could be correct, but if they're not, people better turn up the brightness on their TVs, because you're right, it is tough to make things out here. But to make things out, we are doing. We're here on frame 193, and Arya Stark is holding, not Needle, not the dagger that she was given by Bran via Littlefinger that was used by this assassin to try to kill Bran back in the second episode of the first season. It looks, it appears like, and here I'll even zoom in on it for everybody watching along, that looks like a, what you would call a dragon glass dagger, doesn't it? I mean, that looks to me, once again, we're on frame 193, excuse me.
Either that or it looks like a really dull kitchen knife, like right. Right before you're like, well, you'd have to get these sharpened or buy new ones.
But here,
because they won't cut the bread anymore.
No, on frame, let's go back to frame 195. I mean, she is beat up, Catfish. We're going to 195 because she's a bit brighter on this one. And just looking at her, you know, look at this, the whole side of her face. This is going to sound crazy. Does it not look a bit more like the Hound's? And admittedly, it doesn't look scarred so much as bloody, but gosh,
oh, yeah,
darn it.
It gets a lot brighter in 197 and 199.
Oh, 199. Yeah, look really at that. It. Oh, my goodness.
You really
gracious.
See it full. I mean, they're trying to follow the books as much as possible.
Yeah.
But also you have to realize, like, even though this is the last season, they're not going to have another one. They're going to have other shows, and they want to do what's called fan service.
What do you mean by that? Go deeper.
Well, I mean, fan service is like when you do something that's not really a part of the script, or maybe even it works against it, but it's something the fans really want to see, and so you want to make them happy. So how long have we wanted to see someone kick Arya's ass? And so this is all for the fans. Here okay. You go. You've wanted to see this forever.
Frame 219 is where mm-hmm. It starts to fade up from black, and we are seeing quickly, as we get to frame 225, 227, it's Varys. They are in the Winterfell crypts. How do we know or should assume it's the Winterfell crypts? In the background, we see a stone direwolf and a, what we'd assume, it's so dark it's tough to tell, but a Stark kind of burial monument. People say this character on the far left of the screen is Gilly and her baby. I kind of believe that to be true. Varys, another guy who doesn't look scared too much, frame 231, look at his eyes. Look at that expression. This guy's like,
this is so dark. I'm only semi-ashamed to say after I watched the trailer a couple times and then I read something about it, I was like, Varys? Where was Varys in this trailer? I see him. He is afraid. Now, this puts us in great opposition to, again, I hate to bring him up again because I'm spoiling it for so many people.
So many.
That Joffrey is going to come back this season.
Oh, yeah.
But when Winterfell was being attacked and Joffrey was leading from the basements, he wasn't afraid.
No. He was a man. And so
mm-hmm. He had a very, very brave face down there.
He did. We come back to Arya running.
So what do you think this is?
Which one? Arya varies down.
Varys.
Okay, so in season 7, Melisandre told Varys, hey, you're going to die in this land. I'll tell you this. I
thought she said they both
yeah, they both die. Sorry. She said, yeah, you're going to die and I'm going to come back because I'm also going to die.
But was it King's Landing or Winterfell? I thought
she was on Dragonstone when she told him this, but she didn't tell him where he'd die. But I would bet money that Varys will die, but I will also bet money he's not going to die like this. Varys has always been a spy, a political player. For him to die by zombies, I guess I can understand how that no matter how many spies and how smart you are, zombies, you know, and the Night King could get you. But I feel like more that's going to be, you know, it's kind of he's been playing a political game. I almost think his death has to be political. That's my two cents.
We kind of assume, though, that early in the season that Winterfell will fall.
You would think, but okay, this is a great point to get to it. I've jumped ahead for everybody watching. I've jumped ahead to frame 259. It's Arya still running through these hallways, and she's just, you know, just really scared. So to answer your question, Catfish, earlier in this podcast, I mentioned Lord of the Rings, and I know that George R. R. Martin, the creator of this world, was very much influenced by that. So if you ask me my thoughts, I think there's no way that, you know, Winterfell can survive when the Night King and in the full forces of his terrible demons attack. But on the flip side, it's also a bit like if Winterfell's destroyed, but the Night King kind of gets defeated in the battle, what would be left for the final couple episodes of the show. And I think the scouring of the Shire, which, once again, I'm not a Lord of the Rings expert, but I'm pretty sure that in the Lord of the Rings book, spoilers for those, you know, they defeat the Evil Eye, they defeat Sauron, they destroy the ring, and everybody's real happy. But then Frodo and his buddies go home to the Shire, and oh wait, there's some evil bastards who've overtaken it. And so it's like we got to fight again. So part of me wonders if the Game of Thrones is formatted a lot like Lord of the Rings. I could see the big battle, defeat the Night King, and then, oh crap, we still got King's Landing and Cersei to deal with. I'm spitballing, but I've rambled on. What do you think?
I mean, I think it is more like, I don't think that he gets defeated. I think it's that, not stereotypical, but things have to get really, really bad for our heroes. And obviously, you know, King's Landing is supposedly where the action is, but because we followed the Surly Starks, to us, Winterfell has a place in our hearts. So I think Winterfell has to go down and go down hard, and I think that it's kind of a thing where they kind of just not roll through Winterfell. I think it'll be a big battle, but I think they have to escape Winterfell, and Winterfell is destroyed.
Okay, put that down in your predictions, folks. Here we've jumped up to frame 309 from all Arya's running, and here Arya's actually, you know, she's not running. You assume this is happening before the battle, and she's saying, you know, I've seen death, it has many faces, I can't wait to see this one, is the gist of what she's saying. And she holds up, once again, what appears to be a dragon-glass dagger, and people have been saying, who is she saying this to? Like, who is she saying, oh, I can't wait to see this face to? And for some reason, I've mentioned this character earlier, but I wouldn't be surprised if Melisandre isn't the person she's talking to. Melisandre wants to come back and fight. You know, Melisandre's coming back, let's be honest. She's coming back, why? Because she wants to, you know, fight the evil of the Night King and all the forces of the dead. Of course, she was on Arya's list. And so when Arya's like, oh, I'd like to see this face, and if Arya suddenly saw her and was holding up the dragon glass dagger to her, I could see that happening. Other people have said, no, she's talking tough. She's like, I want to see the Night King. If his is the faith of death, I want to see it. Any thoughts on who she's saying this little line to, Catfish? Yeah, it's...
No.
Well, okay, it's good that you have no, because frames 335 and 337, it's faded to black, 339. It's just all nothingness. And so when we say we don't know, we mean we don't know. So we are going to jump ahead to where there's some sort of image. And yes, here... frame 349, you can begin to see it's on April 14th that this show is coming back 1 month away. I can't believe it. Some people say things like, oh, why did they have to come out with a trailer? Why did they have to do this? Now, people who listen to Game of Thrones podcasts, people who follow Game of Thrones stuff on social media, we know it's coming back. We're excited. But tens of millions of people just in the United States, who knows how many around the world, watch this show. And you have to remind the people who aren't huge fans. So you do have to have trailers. That doesn't mean you know, we have to watch them. But they do have to get people ready. And so I didn't have a problem with it. How did you feel about it, Catfish?
I mean, it has been so long.
So long.
I mean, they weren't even – wasn't that last year they were not eligible for Emmys? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, they weren't. No, they weren't. You're right. They didn't air a show. How could they be eligible for the Emmys?
Right. I'm so excited for this. Obviously, it was very frustrating to wait for so long. I know for sure that there's going to be a lot of frustrations in it, just because there's no way that they can make everybody happy with the way they finish it. I had some issues with the last season, but I'm just on the whole so satisfied to see this story come to a completion in a way that I had thought would never happen.
I couldn't say it better myself, so I won't on frame 381. Here we see we've jumped outside. It's a brighter scene, so even a regular TV can probably see it. And we see it's three ships with the Kraken on the sails, the Greyjoy ships. This middle ship I've zoomed in on, and you see what appears to be a gold-painted Kraken on the mast of the ship, not the mast, on the front of the ship. I don't know where you know the part of the ship where you scream, "I'm king of the world!" On
the bow,
if you say so.
I do.
No, I'm kidding. Now, people have said, and I'm going to once again zoom in on this, people say
that are you going to frame 407?
Okay, well, I'll be there in a sec, but frame 381, when you zoom in on this Kraken symbol, this Kraken, for lack of a better word, is kind of, you know, straight up and down. It's vertical, which is the symbol that the Greyjoys have been using all this time. And when we jump to the next ships, at what frame did you say that was?
That is, well, the frames where there's something really exciting that happens.
Exactly.
Let's frame 407.
All right, so let's get to 407. And why don't you tell everybody what we're seeing on 407, Catfish?
Well, we are seeing a person standing in the bow.
I'm king of the world.
Looking at a mass of soldiers who are, and I don't know, I don't want to give too much away, but they appear to be bedecked in gold.
Like the golden company that Cersei said she was going to, the sellsword she was going to get?
It does indeed look like that. And then the real mystery, though, and Bubba, I pose this to you.
Sure.
Who are we looking at in the foreground, faced away from us, with a very 70s kind of brush-backed hairdo?
I would say, if you've looked at this and didn't think about it at all, you would think this was Jaime of season one, Jaime Lannister, wouldn't you think that? Obviously, we don't think that's who that is, but that's who we would believe it is based on this look, even the color of the armor. And then he wears almost like a, I want to call it a cape, but it's around his waist, so it's more like a skirt that even looks like a Kingsguard thing. This most likely isn't Jaime Lannister. This is most likely.
Well, the only issue is if you look, it's funny. If you look closely, you can see his right hand is clearly a hand, and then the left hand has a glove on it.
Hmm. Well, I see. Yeah, I see on 407. Sorry, I see. Yeah, both hands. They have something on them. They look like hands, I should say. And or that looks like a thumb.
Oh yeah, you're right. They're both. Sorry, that was in 411. I'm able to see his full hand.
Yeah.
And this is why it's important to go through it frame by frame. So clearly, both hands there.
So Qyburn has fixed Jaime entirely. He put another hand on.
if Qyburn had fixed his hand, I would be worried about a Dead by Dawn situation. Dead by Dawn.
So people who, this could be a book spoiler, but people guess that in the books, the leader of the Golden Company is this guy named Harry Strickland, who's not supposed to look like Jaime from behind, but that's who people are guessing. I've zoomed in on it, and though you have all these people
Harry
in gold.
Harry Strickland.
Yeah, is that a great name?
You've got Arya, you've got Sansa, you've got Jon Snow, and then there's a guy who sounds like he's an accountant from Liverpool.
No, he sounds like a personal injury lawyer. Let Harry Strickland do for you.
Harry Strickland did me taxes.
One final thing before we leave this shot. Yeah, I'm on 419. You can see this Kraken on the sails is kind of like, for lack of a better word, it's a diagonal, which implies that it is the ships of Euron. So those three ships that were the first thing we saw, you would guess because the Kraken was up and down, that's Theon going to rescue his sister Yara, who we really haven't seen in any promotional materials. She claims that she was, and I'm not saying she's lying, but she says she was, you know, kind of very pregnant when a lot of the promotional things were happening, like promotional photos, and that's why she's not in them. Catfish, is Yara Greyjoy going to survive?
Childbirth?
No, I mean the show. I mean, it's the actress is Gemma Whalen. I'm sure she'll survive. She said she survived. I'll take her at her word.
Okay,
frame by frame.
Never take a PR person's word, but you can take the person's word if they're still alive. That is a very good point. You know, I'm always inclined to say people are going to live. So I'll say she's going to live. Because we don't care about her that much.
Here's three people, and at least one of them, I can promise you, or I would be willing to bet, isn't going to live and survive season 8. I'm on frame 439. It's Ed from the Night's Watch, Tormund, and Beric. They're entering some big doors, and looking at the stonework inside these big doors, you're going to assume they're at a castle, not Castle Black, which appeared to be built out of wood. And so which castle? possibly Winterfell, but I would say 100% no way Beric Dondarrion, after being brought back so much, is going to survive. How do you, give some odds, Catfish, real quick. Once again, we're here on frame 439. Ed, Tormund, and Beric. What is the chance that all three survive? What are the chances all three die?
Well, I'd say the chances all three. I'd say I would bet more that two out of the three die. And I think that only Tormund lives to have giant babies with Brienne.
We shall see. We shall see. I don't know why, but somebody's got to die. And I think Ed is a good choice. I think Beric, once again, I think Beric's dead. The only reason why Tormund, well, this is a great question. Why did Tormund in Beric Dondarrion, why did they survive the end of season 7 when the wall came down? They tried to show as best they could that those guys were on the top of the wall section that didn't tumble down. Here we see them in the trailer, so we can assume they didn't die. Based on the logic of the show, to meet up with Ed, they would have had to walk about 150 miles inland to find Ed at Castle Black. But why not kill them there with the wall coming down if they didn't have more to do? If to then just kill them in a different way from the ice zombies. I'm asking questions.
Well,
I don't
know. They'll have something to do. But, I mean, we knew that they weren't dead. They didn't show us. They're important enough characters that we would have to have seen them die.
Listen.
It's not enough to just see them on the 50th story of a building and then that building completely collapses and then we assume they're dead.
This is an action movie. Nobody's ever dead. I've jumped up to frame 459. Here we have Bran Stark. Bran, the three-eyed Raven Stark. And as I go to 461, we see this blurry thing in the beginning starts to come into focus as we rack focus to Samwell. Samwell Tarly. What do you think of Bran and or Sam, as Sam turns his head, we see a bit of breath, like cold breath coming in. And then Bran racks out of focus, and we see Sam, and he's not looking happy.
Well, because, the three-eyed crow is doing some of that three-eyed crowed blabbing.
Right.
How difficult would it be to deal with someone like this? I mean, it's not even the peace of like the Dalai Lama or something like that. It's like he's been brainwashed.
Well, how about this? You know, it's trying to make us think, oh, he's going to have to go tell John this terrible thing about him.
Right.
How did you say it? Oh, anting. Giving yes. his aunts. Oh, but the, could it be just like, you know, Sam, I looked and saw that you didn't give Gilly credit for your figuring out that Prince Rhaegar got annulled and married Lyanna Stark.
How about if the Three-Eyed Crow gives him a task? Sam, I know things are really bad here, but I need you to return all the things you've stolen over the years. Right.
Gilly.
The sword.
The sword. The books. Book. I mean, oh.
Gilly. Yeah.
Does Sam survive, Catfish? What's your take? Does Sam survive?
See, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to say that Sam has to survive. I would say,
yeah.
Listen, I will say everybody except for one Stark passes away, but Sam will survive.
Wow. Okay. I accept that. I think both Bran and Sam live. That is my official prediction.
I mean, but Bran, though, can you call that living?
It's a life, people. I would say that the only way Bran doesn't survive is if, once again, I keep going to the Lord of the Rings analogy, in that magic has to leave the world. How can Bran survive if magic has to leave the world? And so, you know, you wonder. I've jumped ahead to frame 505, Catfish. We have this great look of King's Landing, and the most important thing about it is right there on the left-hand side of the screen, we see a Lannister banner. Lannister banner. Of the red, of the gold lion on the red background of the sigil of House Lannister. And then here on frame 513, there Cersei shows up. She's got our boy Qyburn wearing his Hand of the Queen pin. The mountain, Sir Frankengregor, is behind her.
Now, this just goes to show you, though.
513, yeah, what does it show?
We're seeing a lot of people that are usually very confident and smirky.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't see it here in 5:13, but in a little bit later, Qyburn looks a little concerned.
Yeah, I'm here on frame 529. He does look like... He doesn't look happy. Cersei has a little bit of a smirk. I think the
little bit of a smirk.
That's full smirk, you're saying? We're going to have to get out the scale. How much of a smirk is she getting?
Yeah, that is full 100% smirk.
I think the one with the biggest smirk, though, is the mountain there in the background. He's...
Yes, he has a frozen grin, the rictus.
Well, what I was going to say is acting, as I know, is all about the eyes. And so that's all he has to worry about.
That is absolutely true.
Okay, it cuts to black here at 5:31 and 5:33. And then we're fading up. And this is a shot a lot of people love. It's of the winter town. And it seems to be just unsullied. I can't find any Dothraki hidden in this particular shot. But it looks like a little boy climbing up a tree, and we can see it's a tree in the left-hand side. There's a branch, at least.
Mm-hmm. And he's holding on to it.
Right, and he's watching
He's got his little urchin fingerless gloves on.
Right.
Which you will only notice if you go frame by frame.
And this scene, it looks a bit like of Dickens. You know, this is Tiny Tim. We got the chimneys blowing smoke here in the winter town. We see Winterfell in the distance. And this is most likely from the very first episode. Everybody's mentioned it. The first episode of season 8 will be the arrival of the Queen Daenerys, in some ways trying to mimic the arrival of the King at Winterfell way back in the very first episode of season 1, the pilot entitled Winter is Coming. And as we pan up, we see that the army is, you know, is almost all the way, the beginning of the first people in this marching line are very close to Winterfell. This is trying to give us a size of the number of people Daenerys is bringing. And sure enough, at frame 559, Daenerys shows up. There are a bunch of Unsullied there, and she's wearing her new white coat. And then we see Jon Snow kind of pops into it around 567. What do you think of these lovebirds?
Embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed if she's wearing that for the wedding after I know what happened on the ship.
So do you see a marriage between the aunt and her nephew? What do you think, Catfish?
Oh, you know, I'm going to say yes. I was going to say they don't have time, but during war, why not?
Okay, let's go forward and let's look at frame 593, and there is a dragon. There be dragons. Sansa's on the parapets there at Winterfell, and she's looking at it. What do you think?
I mean, Winterfell, I mean, enjoy all the scenes of Winterfell you can, because it is going to be a smoking pile of ash.
Now, as I go forward, there's something, is that its mouth open at frame 601? It's Sansa looking up at the dragon flying over her head, but I think at 601, it's not blowing fire or anything, but you can see, I think its mouth's open. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
You got to breathe a lot. You got to breathe as you're flying.
Well, I mean, this is just analogous to, you know, when you're driving in a car with your dog and you roll the window down and it opens up its mouth just to get refreshed.
Right. It's leaning its head out the window. This is Drogon. And then at frame 627, you see... the other Rhaegal, the other dragon, flying behind Sansa. She hasn't bothered to look at him. She's going to look at Drogon. I have to be honest, the one thing that really sticks out at me about this shot of Sansa watching these things fly over her head is the what I would call the green screen work behind her. It's just quite obvious that you can see it, and that you know, this isn't even the real sky behind her. This is something that they kind of digitally composed to make it look windy and clouds and that kind of stuff. She's still got her big circle neck piece, which is always a fan favorite, and she's looking up amazed.
I mean, wouldn't you be? That is one big dog putting his head out the window.
Frame 653, we have the dragons flying over Winterfell. And the thing that blew me away about this shot down on Winterfell, maybe I should have noticed this before, but do you notice how, like, all these kind of circular towers, they don't have a flat dome on the top. They just have kind of like rings on the top. And I'm wondering, is this a good design for snow to have a roof that's kind of a ring and then a hole in the ring where the snow could fall forward into that? I suppose that's for chimneys and stuff. You're trying to protect the chimneys maybe, but I wanted to show me the architect. Show me the blueprints.
I mean, it's so that the dragons can land. Come on. You always want... I always design my houses. I'm like, you know what I want? Like if a dragon's flying around, I want him to see my place and I want him to go, that's a good place to land.
Also, another thing that just some digital effect work doesn't work for me. I'm going to zoom in on it a bit. But on the left-hand side of the screen, you see the area where the kind of the weirwood would be and the kind of green space of Winterfell is that's in the walls. And the way it looks is there are just so many trees there. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't look real. It looks like a playground. But the fact that we have these million-dollar shows and these million-dollar exciting things, here I'm on frame 663, where you can even zoom in and see some of the people walking around in the courtyards. I shouldn't complain. This is still incredible work these people are doing, no matter what.
I mean, I can't even imagine. Has there been word on how much this season cost?
I'm sure there has. I haven't been able to bring it up. But what do you think? 12 million? 15 million episode? I mean, there are only 6 episodes. What's going on here, man?
I mean, you're saying per episode?
Yeah.
That much per episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
Frame 685, we see Jon down in the Winterfell crypts, and we see Daenerys walking to him. It's tough to tell in this if she's still wearing white or if that's her gray outfit. Everybody loves to go see the crypts. It's like a tourist trap here in Winterfell. As soon as you get there, what's the first thing you want to do when you visit Winterfell? Visit the crypts. Jumping up to frame 705, Daenerys and Jon both looking.
Right. Now, is there any? I'm gonna say something that I think Mace is gonna show that I've forgotten some stuff. There's some family down there, isn't there? For him and for her?
Well, technically, for her, it would really only be that we assume it'd be her sister by marriage. Lyanna Stark is her sister by marriage, you know, so her, sister-in-law. And it's his mother, so
right.
That's the only known relative of hers we have down there. There may be some others.
Right. So he's going to visit mom, and he's going to see what is he going to see on her? He's going to see maybe he'll recognize Daenerys in her. He'll be like, it's like you, my mom. You and my mom, we're the same.
Well, you better hope she doesn't end up with the same fate that his mom did and die in childbirth, or whew, there's another bittersweet ending for Game of Thrones for you. I've jumped ahead to frame 725. Jon Snow's eyes are entirely closed. Daenerys, she's looking at him. Now, there's always the chance that he's actually visiting Ned Stark's tomb down there, and because he hadn't seen Ned since the very second episode of the series. And so...
No, I think, and I'm, you know, again, like, you know, I blew it about Daenerys. I thought there might be somebody down there for her, except for, obviously, as half-sister. But I think this is when he is visiting who he knows now as his mom.
Man.
And this is when he's going to tell her. And then I'm going to be interested to find out, because... We've talked about this a little. Obviously, with Jaime and Cersei, that is bad, bad, bad. Well, they're brother, sister, also very close. But in this world,
yeah,
in the not so distant past, in this world, their relationship wouldn't be so verboten.
No.
It's just verboten to us in our modern times. So I wonder how
not
they're
going to
handle this. Well, okay, but not to you. But I wonder how they're going to handle this. Are they going to treat this the way that we treat it now, and it's going to be a big deal to them? Or are they going to be like, yeah, you know, it happens and it's totally cool?
If I had to guess, Jon Snow, he makes a big deal of everything. He'd be like, chicken, I ordered steak. Oh, you know, so I say he's going to make it a big deal.
Right? Girlfriend? No, I ordered girlfriend, not aunt.
I've jumped ahead up to frame 753, Catfish, and this means we're about halfway through.
That's great. It's only because you've totally, completely lied, and we're skipping a bunch of frames. Hashtag, it's a lie.
It's all a lie. But at 753, it blows me away. Gendry here, this is supposed to be winter. This is supposed to be cold. Like, he's not layered up. His neck is totally exposed. His sleeves are rolled up. Obviously, he's a blacksmith. He's forging things. But even in winter, don't you think, Gendry, you got to bundle up.
I mean, there's two things that we know about Gendry.
He's got a shaved head, too, Catfish.
Yeah, because it's not cold enough for him.
He's got the fiery heart from Melisandre. He's like, I'm...
Yes, no, because his metabolism just burns so hot. How else do you think he was able to run so fast?
Zoom, zoom, zoom. What do you think of this woman? I've jumped up to frame 763, Catfish. What do you think of this woman here on the right? Do you think that's his love interest? Because he's like, okay, Arya, you're too young.
You think he gets a love interest?
No. Does he survive? How about that? Does Gendry survive? Yes, yay or nay?
I'm going to say yay. I think you're going to be hard pressed to get me to believe that the people who aren't true combatants or aren't royal are going to die. I think Gendry's going to live. I think Bronn's going to live. I think Hot Pie's going to live.
Okay, that's a good guess. At frame 769, Catfish, it's Sir Friendzone. And he's pretty dark, like the whole thing is. You can see their Dothraki behind him. He's pulling his horse up, though. He's kind of, you know, like everybody else is kind of riding from left to right. And he's pulling his up like, let me get a look at this. Do you think he's seeing his girl kiss somebody else? He's like, wait a minute, Daenerys is kissing Jon. He's like, hold up the horses.
I mean, he could be. But he's happy to be in the friend zone. I've never seen anybody so happy to just do whatever.
Frame 787, it's everybody's favorite couple that, as far as we know, aren't related, Grey Worm and Missandei. What do you think about these two sexy young warriors?
We're not sure that he's technically a man, are we?
Come on. Come on. He gave it up to Master Krasnus, and I don't mean he gave it up. I meant you know what I mean. Oh, I love that Grey Worm in the shot with all the troops behind him, and once again we're going to assume is the Winterfell courtyard. You could see his breath. Then at frame 807, he comes in, 813, they're together, smooch, and that's it. It's you know, real quick, it's over by 817, Catfish. We don't have much kissing between these two.
There's not much more he can do, but I will say this.
I think even season 7 showed us what else he could do. Hello.
He knows something, Jon Snow. I think Grey Worm is going to die.
Oh, I kind of do too. I think that might be a we both agree in that one. Mm-hmm. Will you cry if our buddy Grey Worm, who, you know, really had a rough life, kind of like everybody, would you cry if he kick the bucket?
I mean, I'd be upset for him, but I think I'd be happier for you because now there's a chance that you and Missandei can get together.
You think that he's the only problem standing between me and happiness? Okay.
I mean, clearly.
Okay, I want to give a shout out to on Twitter @AltaMarie_. That's @AltaMarie_ on Twitter. She said the first time we attempted to record this podcast, it was a double C.
Double C.
Crappy connection. Long live Joffrey. Very good, Alta Marie. I'm going to retweet that. Thank you so much. We also have a comment, live comment in from our good buddy Double M.
Double M.
That's Matt Murdock, who's at Matt's Game of Thrones audio blog on Twitter. He's saying, wait a minute. Beric and Tormund are too important where you have to see them die, but Stannis isn't, meaning that we didn't see Stannis die, but you're saying that... That we have to see Beric and Tormund die, so he's giving you a little grief about a comment we probably did about 15 minutes ago on the show.
I don't think people were emotionally connected to Stannis, and also I'm not sure he's dead.
No, that would be the real reveal. Hey, everybody, it's my duty.
I mean, we saw we quote unquote saw Joffrey die, and he's not dead, so you can't trust anything.
No, you can't. Let's go up to frame 817, Catfish. We have kind of a red, what you would assume is burning background behind this figure. It appears to be Brienne in 817 slashing people. I'm going to assume that snow you can make out on the railing. And
this is why they need to be together, because I thought it was Tormund.
Catfish, no comment at all from me on you. Catfish, if people want to attack you for that comment, how can they find you on Twitter?
Oh, they can hit me up at CJGman67. And you listen, I'm a big Tormund, whether it be Torien, I'm a shipper on those
heck
two.
Yeah. Well, is Brienne going to survive? I may be, you know, looking at her slash what we assume are zombies, but it's so difficult to tell. At 8:25, we finally see the Kingslayer, the person who people rumor is King Joffrey's father, Jaime Lannister. He kind of looks dirtied up for sure. 8:27, he's screaming. The camera comes around. It appears to be Pod behind him at frame 8:31. 8:33, he's got a serious look on his face. What are your thoughts about Jaime, Pod, and Brienne and the Battle of Winterfell, Catfish? Any thoughts that any of those three, all those three, who survives?
Oh, boy. I know I said I had Tormund and Brienne making big babies together. I think Jaime dies. I think he dies heroically.
I think he dies this season, too.
He had it. Well, that's good. Yes, it'd have to be this season.
He's going to die in season 9.
Season 9. Postscript. Wouldn't it be nice? Happy postscript.
Heck yeah.
Like the 6 feet under. We just see everybody get older and die. I think we lose Jaime. I think we lose Pod.
Ooh, I could see us losing Pod too. How about? But you haven't mentioned Brienne. What's your thought?
No, I'm together on Tormund, Giants Brienne.
Brother,
I'm together on them. They're making big babies together.
All right, you can find the whole show on Twitter at @DoublePHQ. That's the word double, single letter P for podcast, HQ. Frame 8:35. We're in the throne room in King's Landing. People have poured over this shot. If you zoom in on it, and you have to zoom really far, on the two outsides, it's just two random members of Queen Cersei's Queen's Guard. Mm-hmm. Then, let's stop that and let's go left to right. So we have a Queen's Guard member, we have the Mountain, we have Cersei on the Iron Throne, we have what most people guess is this Harry Strickland, the leader of the Gold Company, next, right in front of Cersei. Then you have Qyburn in his position. Then the next person who's down on the floor with this leader, we assume, of the Gold Company, who is that person? It would make sense if it was Euron. Let's be honest. Euron's supposed to get the Golden Company and bring them to Cersei. So it would make sense if this was in episode 1 of Euron saying, hey, I got your sellsword company, Cersei. Here they are. But
only problem with that is Euron likes to be in the center of things. This person is standing politely a few feet away. That's not his move.
No, he's got great moves, but that's not it. I completely agree, but just because I think they want to grab stuff from the early episodes, I'm going to guess it's Euron. I've heard some people guess that it was a character we've mentioned before, Yara, who was Euron's prisoner. I've heard some people mention Sansa. Where does this Sansa theory come from? Well, Cersei in season 7, when she was talking to the banker Tycho Naharis from the Iron Bank of Braavos about, hey, I need to borrow some money and get a sellsword company, she phrased it as, I need to get some things back which were lost. Generically, something like, some things that I had, I lost, I need them back. You could read it, oh, she needs the Seven Kingdoms back. But there's some people thinking, oh, she means she wants evil Uncle Tyrion back. She wants Sansa Stark back under her control. And so some people have said that's Sansa next to him.
Any chance that she wants that is just her mojo?
Well, it's tough when you're, you know, about to give birth and your mojo's going crazy.
Now, speaking of that,
A-frame 847.
847. This is a big one. And, you know, again, sometimes I'm a little slow on the uptake. I'm here for my good looks, not for my intelligence. But even I myself, when I first saw this, was like, first of all, I put one and one together and I got 754.
Now that's good.
Number one, she looks sad. Number two, she's drinking what appears to be wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what do we know that she gave up for the baby?
She did in at least one scene say, hey, I can't drink, implying that she understands modern medicine and that you're not supposed to drink.
Well, that's how Tyrion guessed, I believe.
Yeah, that is how Tyrion guessed. That's correct. And she put her hand on her belly after that.
Yeah. So this, if we're right about this, and obviously we're not the only ones who saw it, but if we're right about this, that's kind of a big spoiler to give away in the trailer.
Okay, how about this? She has a baby, it dies in childbirth, it's stillborn. But then somehow the Night King comes back, he raises the baby from the dead, and the baby kills Cersei.
Whoa. I mean, how? By breastfeeding too hard?
Possibly. I would never say no to you, Kathy.
Okay, all right. Well, good to know.
What I find interesting about this is that, you know, once again, this actress, incredible actress, when we begin this scene and she's drinking the infamous wine, she seems to be smiling, but her eyes are watery. Here I'm on frame 883, and that smile just slowly dissipates. Could it be that, hey, I'm all alone because my brother, that's brother lover to you and I, left? Because here at frame 891, she's definitely given some side eye, like, what have I done?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. She's had her issues with Jaime, but all that seems to dwindle down to nothingness when you're stuck playing Connect Four with Qyburn every night.
What if you're playing Connect Four with a mountain? You're trying to get four in a row there, Frank and Gregor.
I think it would be hard. I think even before he was Frank and Gregor, I'm not sure that would be one of his strongest games. Or tic-tac-toe.
Right. Connect anything would be – he'd be better with stuff you have to destroy, you know. Sank my battleship.
He might be the kind of thing they use when they're doing tests on animals, et cetera, like getting the shapes in the right holes. That might be the challenge for him.
These next couple of shots in the – trailer, Catfish, and I've actually skipped an entire shot to jump up to frame 919. People say this landscape looks like it's beyond the wall, but because it's such a frozen wasteland, but it could just be that they're trying to show this is how the north looks when winter comes. You know, we heard winter was coming, we've heard winter is here. And so where do you think these dragonflight shots take place? Outside Winterfell, which is where I would have to guess, or are people actually going to go north of the wall that isn't complete anymore?
You know, I don't know where this is quote-unquote supposed to be, but doesn't it remind you of the place where John and his merry band of fools
captured
that White Walker?
Yeah, no, it really does. I completely agree, yeah. Like, they shot this plate photography up in Iceland is what it looks like, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that same... That same spot where they got them.
Maybe the dragons are going back in time to say, this was a dumb plan. You got our brother killed, you morons.
All right, and then we go from that to now we're going to hang with Arya again in frame 925.
Yes, and this is something that people love this because everybody behind her looks so scared, looks so panicked. We have a woman run forward right next to her and grab a kid and pull the kid away. But Arya, you know, she isn't running and scared. Her eyes are wide open. Once again, tell us what eyes wide open like this and mouth actually open like this, Catfish. What emotion is she trying to convey?
Well, I think they're all seeing dragons for the first time. That's what I think. Because that's the way they're looking. And honestly... I don't know whether they had somebody on a ladder or a boom saying, look over here, but some people are looking in different places.
Well, these dragons fly fast, or the guy with the boom.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you look closely at that frame,
you're right.
There are four people looking in four different directions.
What I wonder is, do you think there's any chance Bran and Sam told everybody, okay, as soon as John gets here, we got to let him know he's screwing his aunt, and that the people are actually horrified and running away from the aunt-nephew relationship? They're like, ah!
It could be. It could be. It could be that.
Frame 947.
Yeah.
949. Grey Worm, what is his expression he's trying to get across as he puts his helmet, his helm on to get ready for this battle? Once again, we can see that he's at Winterfell. What expression is he trying to say? I thought he was trying to say, this job sucks. I volunteered for this.
It was. I thought it was. This time it's serious.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Let's jump to frame 967.
Maybe that's after they kill Missandei.
Yeah, he's PO'd and he's like, "I'll teach you, you effers." Frame 967. John at the Weirwood tree. Most of it's there, but they paint the tree white so it looks like a weirwood. All these red leaves are either they're kind of placed there by the set decorators or they're digitally inserted. It is a beautiful shot. The pond that's always supposed to be there next to the tree is frozen over. I think in these shots you can zoom in and get a good shot of the face on the tree, which some trees have more distinct faces than others, and this one hasn't had the greatest, most distinct face. But I zoom in on it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy's... Does he look like John, the tree, the face of the tree?
Well, this is what I'm thinking here. Because I know that Kat used to love coming here.
Well, remember, in the very first episode, she looked awkward, and Ned's like, they're the gods. She's like, these are your gods, and Ned's like... You've given birth to 5 northern children. As if that's going to cheer her up. You know, like, hey, don't let this creepy tree with a face on it scare you. You've given up 5 people who believe in this crap.
Right. So I think that John's coming here to tell Kat, screw you, lady, for being so mean to me all those years.
Frame 9.
And then she's going to show up.
Right. She comes out of.
That's when she shows up.
That'd be great. Frame 977, we have a very extreme close-up on the Hound. I think it's tough to tell anything about this other than that there's some fire behind him. Anything you would say to the Hound, Catfish?
Yeah. You got any marshmallows?
Oh, nice. Frame 991, Jaime Lannister now gets a speaking line. And it's a good line here. You know, hey, I'll paraphrase it to say he said, I'm going to fight for the living. I made a pledge to fight for the living, and I tend to honor that pledge. How do you feel about this guy who's really done some terrible things over the 7 seasons so far and done some, you know, good things over the previous 7 seasons and things in between? What do you think about this character now? I think we've both said that he's not going to survive this season, but how do you feel about him? Will you be sad when he dies, Catfish?
Well, I mean, I would say it doesn't feel like a super bold choice to fight for the living instead of the White Walkers.
Well,
maybe he could have phrased it a different way.
What if he's an oathbreaker? What if it's I made a pledge to fight for the living, but I'm on their side now, bitches. Ah!
Yeah, I made a pledge for the fight for the living, but it all depends on how you define living.
Okay, Catfish.
So I think I'm going to be sad. I think he's going to have it's really funny,
yeah,
that, you know, we talk about the way people especially look at, you know, incest, because it is so because there's such a difference between the way we view it,
yeah,
and the way it's viewed in this world. It's still bad in this world, but it's a little bit different. But it's amazing that, and I think it's a testament to the character and the portrayal, that people are rooting for Jaime now after he's having sex with his sister. She's a horrible person. He threw Bran out the window, and yet now we're like, yeah, we understand even that he's torn between the love of his life and his family and doing what's right. It's pretty incredible, I have to say.
What's possibly incredible is here at frame 1001, We have a hand picking up what looks to be the bow, and I don't mean bow of a ship, the bow of an arrow. Is there any chance that there's a bit of the Hobbit in this? Remember, the Hobbit end, spoiler alert, was somebody shooting down a dragon. Is it possible you have a dragon glass tipped arrow and you shoot down the undead dragon that way? Can you guess who's picking up this bow?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, only through the magic of frame-by-frame technology is, and we don't know, you know, sometimes they mix things up, but right after there's two frames of the bow being picked up, there's a bunch of frames of Jon Snow looking very determined and running, and we can't see what's in his hand. We can barely tell what's going on. It's so dark. Maybe he's the one that grabs the bow, and he's going to be like, I'm killing this dragon with my bow.
I could see him running because Daenerys just sacrificed herself. I could see that's what this running scene here at frame 105 and others is. You know, it's so dark, though. I mean, it's so dark.
I mean, the only thing that would make me feel different about what he was doing there is if we had audio of him saying, you just don't measure up.
Well, we know who we'd be getting it there. And when
I mean, he's like, because then it would be, you know, Tyrion stepping out on his lady with him.
Catfish, we're at frame 1015, one of my favorite frames in the entire trailer. And I'm glad
we finally got here.
How many frames are left?
About 500.
This appears to be Knights of the Vale, based on the silverness of their armor, running towards a closed door. Of course, that frame disappears by frame 1019, where it appears to be horse hooves. People really want to see direwolf hooves in this shot, but it appears to be horse hooves running through. And definitely, to talk about frame by frame, there is a frame in here. I'll try to find it exactly here. It's frame 1033, where you can definitely tell it's a horse hoof of running through this shot. Not much to say about it, but by the time we get to frame 135, the dragons have roasted and melted the snow away for a bit. They've also roasted their lunch and dinner because all there are bones here. Jon and Daenerys are walking up to the dragons. Is Jon Snow going to ride one of these dragons, Catfish? What do you think?
I mean, if he doesn't end up riding one of the dragons, with what we know about him and the fact that there are two dragons that are alive and one that the Night King is riding, then I will eat my shirt if he does not ride one of these dragons.
And you'll leave as big a mess as the dragons left there of all.
I will. I mean, you know he's going to ride a dragon, right?
I suspect it. Yes, that's very true. I want to just talk about effects work again on the shots where the dragons are in the foreground and Jon and Daenerys are walking towards them. To me, those look better than here shot 1043, where suddenly the human beings are in the foreground. And obviously they have to be kind of in front of a chroma key so you can clip them out and have dragons behind them, behind a green screen, I should say.
Yeah.
But they're going to ride. They're going to ride together. Just like aunts and nephews have for centuries. Frame 149, very lovely shot.
They're going to ride during the day and ride at night.
149, 153, or 1053, I should say. Sansa closes her eyes at 1055, opens them back up at 1057 and 59. Sansa, is she going to live? Yay or nay? Let's hear it.
Well, my prediction is that only one Stark survives.
Ooh, I love that.
I no longer count Bran as an actual human being.
Oh, man, that's not nice, Catfish.
Because he's a three-eyed raven. He's no longer a human being. So I'm going to say that it is Sansa who survives. She's the only Stark left. Jon dies.
Arya
dies. That's it. Jon and Arya die.
I definitely am with you. Arya's dead. I think Bran and Sansa live. Here we are at frame 1061.
But you didn't say what you think about Jon.
Boy, I'm really torn. I think he's gonna make it pretty far. you know, it's just...
I mean, this is a turnaround.
If he dies, how about this? If Jon Snow dies, which I could see happening, the very last episode. That's when I see it happening.
I mean, forever I thought it was going to be, you know, I've always said it's a Song of Ice and Fire. Jon Snow is ice, Daenerys is fire, and that they would be together and rule together. But now I'm starting to think double M, as I call Jon Snow.
Mopey Moperson?
Now, Mopey Moperson.
Follow them on Twitter.
Not going to make it. And finally, he'll have a reason to be so sad. Because he'll be dead.
That's, you know, I want to fight for the side of the living. P.S. I've been killed once. Jon Snow. lots of shots of Arya fighting people. In one of these shots, the shots around 1075, she appears to be outside, if you ask me. Like, she's up on the battlement. On frame 1079, we have Daenerys looking very, very somber. Like, she just spent some time with Jon.
Yeah, I'm going to call her, you know what, I'm going to say this is after the wedding, so now she's officially Triple M.
Triple M?
Yeah, Mrs. Mopey Moperson.
Oh. That toast that Samwell made was so embarrassing. He ruined the reception.
He did. She is so sad to be married. She's closing her eyes. Maybe this is after Jon Snow dies.
Ooh, catfish. Let's get to somebody who we say doesn't measure up, frame 1087.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about this. This is evil Uncle Tyrion, yes. He's still got his Hand of the Queen pin on. So the thing I'm going to say, let's extrapolate from that. You look at this shot, there's no snow on the ground behind him. It doesn't look like mm-hmm. snow to me. It looks like dirt. Not only that, this shot doesn't have the blue filter over it like they like to put a blue filter over everything that's shot in the north to let you know, okay,
good
this
point,
is the north.
Good point.
To me,
and
this... Yeah, oh, sorry,
no
go.
Clues. There's no clues of who he's actually looking at because he looks up to even small children.
So what I'm saying, though, is the fact that it doesn't look like it's in the north, does that mean Tyrion survives the battle at Winterfell? Because he's still got the Hand of the Queen pin on, does that mean Daenerys survives the battle at Winterfell? I think this is a...
I think so, because I think the battle of Winterfell is early.
Okay. Does Tyrion survive the season?
I think the battle of Winterfell is the second.
Does this evil uncle survive the season? Yay or nay?
I think he does. I think he's the only Lannister who survives.
Mm.
Except for Joffrey.
Okay. I concur. Shot 1095, a dragon opens his mouth at 197. At 199, the mouth is open, but we can see fire in it. At 1101, the whole screen is filled with flames. We are going over this frame by frame. Who said we won it? We can't keep going. We got to end this. I need a screen guard. I'm popping a lot of peas like you do. You aren't doing because you have that great windscreen. So I apologize to listeners who have to hear me pop all my peas. What's next,
luckily,
Catfish?
Yes. What is next? As you might expect, it's a bunch of frames of darkness.
No.
With frame 1105, it is complete darkness, and this continues. Unless there's something wrong with my screen, for a long time.
Yeah, like
until about.
Yeah, say it.
Hold on, I missed it when I scrolled.
It's okay. It's 1135. It starts fading back up, and this is a dolly shot down the line, and we see a bunch of Dothraki all dressed in their nude. They now have sleeves. You know, when they were in Essos and it was hot, they didn't have to wear sleeves. Now, because they're in the cold, they're like. Get us some darn sleeves. Winter's here, baby. Then we have a shot at 1,165, 67. It's another pan shot, but this time we're moving from right to left. We have Brienne and Pod and the Knights of the Vale. We keep seeing them. Where are the typical Winterfell soldiers? Where's everybody else? That's who are behind Podrick and Brienne. We've already mentioned how we feel about how they're going to survive. Anything you want to say about this shot, Catfish? Brienne, I can't tell. It's so dark if she has her Valyrian sword in her hand or not. It looks like it possibly is, yeah.
It's hard to tell. I mean, basically, I would say if the show is really as dark as the trailer is, and so much of it is set in the dark, I would say you'd have to change that aphorism from "the night is dark and full of terrors" to "the night is dark and very dark."
The night is dark and we can't see
anything. The night is dark and, man, it is really dark.
Frame 1189. It's so dark, but we can still see the lines on Sir Jorah's face. Here, Sir Frenzode. I've already forgotten. Is he surviving, yes or no? I think if he... I'll go first. I think if they had him survive Grayscale, if they had him survive the White Heist, to me that says Sir Jorah survives. He can survive anything. So I'm predicting, I don't know how, because the most painful thing for him is to not be with Daenerys in a romantic way. So oh, yeah, there's no, nothing the Night King could do that would be any worse.
He's going to die of a broken heart.
So he's dead inside already.
He is dead inside. His heart is as crusty as his skin used to be.
Oh. Ouch. Frame 1205. You see the lights of Winterfell in the distance. The camera is actually kind of what you would say being brought down like on a jib arm, because we're getting closer to the ground as we go to frame 1209, 1211. And what comes into the shot but a dead horse's leg? What do you think, Fish? This is pretty much it for content. It's just telling us what we all knew. The dead are coming.
Yeah, it's funny that it's not... I mean, I guess that's... You know, that's probably the least exciting shot you can show us and give us a sense of... You know, it's not like we don't know the dead are coming. They already took the wall down, for God's sake.
P.S. The dead are coming. But can you believe we went through a trailer... People talk about who you didn't see. You didn't see Theon. You didn't see Yara. Unless he was in that throne room scene, you didn't see Euron. You didn't see a bunch of people. I think the biggest shock
you
don't
see. You
didn't
see my boy, Bronn.
You didn't see Bronn. Well, exactly right. I was going to say the biggest shock for me you didn't see is you didn't see the Night King. He is the true adversary, but he doesn't make appearance at all. Possibly it's because every time he would appear, he'd be on the dragon or some other spoiler connotation. But not showing the Night King, bit of a shock for me.
It is weird that you'd think they would have one shot of him just standing and looking menacing in a way that they could isolate him and just without giving anything away.
And that's it, Catfish. April 14th. There are a couple other frames of blackness, believe it or not.
No, really?
Can you believe that there's more frames of nothingness? That's it. Listeners, we have yammered on for so long that it must be frustrating. We want you guys to go ahead and contact us and tell us what you think, where you agree with us, where you disagree with us on Twitter. It's at @PHQ for Double P Podcast Headquarters, at @PHQ. On Instagram, it's at @PHQ. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/PHQ. On YouTube, I apologize. It's just some crazy search you have to do. Search the Joffrey Podcast. You'll find us. Catfish Clothing Thoughts as we wrap up this podcast.
I mean, I'm super excited. I am just so excited. It's here. We're going to get to see the end of this. I believe I've said this a few times. We've talked about how the producers talked to George R. R. Martin and kind of said, like, we think this is where this is going to go. And maybe he gave him some high signs. But I've also felt like for a while, just because George R. R. Martin has a healthy ego, as well he should.
Yeah, he should. He created this incredible world.
I've given him a hard time for some things, justifiably, but he should have an ego. And I honestly think that he is going to change some things just to make them different from the way this show ends. Now, of course, there's some storylines that the show has avoided, so it's easy for him to do that. And normally you would think, I mean, there's some pretty major storylines, so you know there are going to be some differences, but I think he might add some even more differences. Nonetheless, I am, as I said earlier, excited to see this story end that I started reading 15 years ago, 17 years ago, something like that. And even I was warned at the time, this guy writes slow. And since then, he's come out with two books, three books maybe. So I'm excited to see the end of this.
Let me say that I just want to piggyback on what you're saying about George R. R. Martin. I think there are a lot of things he still doesn't know how they're going to go. I think when people say, well, I said, boy, the scenes of Braavos in the House of Black and White and Arya just saying, okay, this is it for me later, how that felt like that's all it is. Personally, I wonder if it's because when the show creators went to George R. R. Martin and say, well, okay, Arya went to Braavos to become a faceless man. What happens? He goes, well, she becomes a faceless man, and then I'm going to have her leave somehow. Well, what are the circumstances? I haven't figured that out yet. I'll figure it out as I'm writing. And they went, oh, okay. And so, yeah, I think the books are definitely going to be different from the show because some things he hasn't figured out yet. I think the big points will be there. I guess the final thing we should talk about, Catfish, is I don't think there's going to be an Iron Throne. I don't think there's going to be anybody sitting on the Iron Throne at the end. I think the throne room will be destroyed, as we saw in all these visions. And so
you certainly don't think that the kingdom will dissolve into anarchy.
I don't think it's going to dissolve into anarchy, but I'll say this. I think the last episode, which is going to be directed by the showrunners, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, I think it's going to end where, you know, okay, it feels like, okay, the kingdom, you know, there's no king anymore. People can just live and kind of rule themselves. And I think it's going to end with some sort of scene that implies, you know what, people are people. And it will probably be a bunch of extras where they're suddenly going, you know, people fighting over some, you know, over a bridge or over a piece of land. And that's going to let us know as the viewers, we went through all this hell to finally join together and defeat this big problem. And then, sure enough, we've gone back to our petty squabbles. That's my thought.
All right. Well,
depressing,
no,
huh?
Yeah, no, I think someone will be in charge.
Who?
Well, I mean, I think I haven't said what's going to happen with Daenerys, but I've killed off most people, so I'm going to go with Sansa.
All right. Okay, I like it. It also, I've always said this, it's always, if you went by the ending of the War of the Roses, which was a bit of historical inspiration for Game of Thrones, the War of the Roses ended with kind of the equivalent of Daenerys marrying Sansa, meaning this two houses were kind of brought together in a wedding to, you know, bring some peace. And I, as much as we might like it, I don't think Sansa's going to marry Daenerys. But Sansa being left in charge, even though it won't be on the Iron Throne, in my opinion, I could definitely see it.
All right.
My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, other things, at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And I am Catfish. And you can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter only. Exclusive.
We want you guys to comment with us once again. Instagram and Twitter at DoublePHQ. Facebook.com/DoublePHQ. YouTube, search it, find it. We're out there. Let us know what you think. We're so thankful. Let me just say once again, we're so thankful for anybody who's put up with all our silliness and helped us enjoy this great TV show all these years. So, you'll catch
and
us.
Now, Bubba,
go.
Hold on.
Let's
now,
hear
I know
it.
It's been a while since we did this, Bubba. But, you know,
oh, no.
We cannot end
we
an
can't.
Episode of the Joffrey podcast without our Joffrey of the week. And let me just explain this very quickly.
Let's hear it.
For people who don't know or people who know, we have identified Joffrey as the greatest human being, real or fictional, ever created.
Ever.
His faithfulness.
Yeah.
His sense of honor.
Right.
His braveness. His dignity. He is a quality human being. And because it is so hard to reach that sense of almost sainthood that he has,
yeah,
we do like to point out people, real world examples of people who are trying to embody the essence of Joffrey.
Yeah.
And so whenever we do a podcast, we nominate our Joffrey of the week. And Bubba, I'm going to go first, if you don't mind.
I totally mind, but I'll allow it.
Okay. My Joffrey of the week is Pat McCrory.
Pat McCrory?
Yeah. He was a politician from North Carolina. A lot of people might remember him as the person who came up with the bathroom bill in North Carolina. And he was he was voted out of office, and then he blamed his loss on the non-citizen vote.
Oh no!
Apparently, he was put out of office by non-citizens, and then and this morning I saw him on Meet the Press. Basically scolding younger politicians like Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, no. What do you say?
You know, basically they need to learn from the older folks and that they're brash. And so for his sense of honor and dignity and rightfulness.
Oh, yeah.
He gets my honor of Joffrey of the Week. And also, if there's anybody who's working on Meet the Press, just know I've taken you off my record list. You're on probation, Meet the Press.
Let me say, Sir Chuck of House Todd will be heartbroken when he hears that scolding you've given him. So mind
you. Well, you know what? It's going to be. Yeah. I don't know if you can do any worse than Liz Cheney on the program today. He said, "Welcome, Liz Cheney," and she said, "Thank you, Todd."
That'll put him in his place. All right, so
yeah,
Catfish, my
Joffrey. That's what he gets for having two front first names.
My Joffrey of the Week
is
somebody who's really been out there. Like, he's kind of been in the news, it feels like, for a good 3 or 4 months because people look to him. Now, why is this person my Joffrey of the Week? Well, Joffrey, remember when he was in the small council session with his small council, and evil Uncle Tyrion was like, you know, Sansa's my wife now. She's not mine to, she's not yours to torment or torture, or not yours to torment. And he got so upset with the questions. He got so frustrated with the questions and the talk back that he started, the only time Joffrey lost his, his composure. He screamed, "Everyone is mine to torment." And then his granddad told him he was tired. And he's like, "I'm not tired." I saw behavior like that this week, meaning kingly behavior, from somebody who many people believe, like King Joffrey, can fly, because he kept singing, "I believe I can fly." It's R. Kelly. Okay.
R. Kelly.
When the small folk was interviewing him, he got very upset and very emotional, like His Grace did. And like His Grace, you know, he's just trying to live his life. That's crazy. Crazy that Joffrey would kill prostitute Roz in his bed with his own crossbow. That's crazy. That is crazy. It would never happen. I mean, come on, people, believe him. And so for his righteous anger, R. Kelly, my Joffrey of the Week.
Wow, that's a great one. That's a great one. I feel like we have two real strong candidates this week.
They're very, very strong. All right. Listen, we've been going a while. Thank you so much for putting up with us. Once again, subscribe. We want you with us. We're going to be giving away all our prizes here in the final season. And you'll hear us next time.
And maybe someone besides Holly Huntpants will win some.
Probably not. She's so lucky. So you'll hear us next time on The
Joffrey of Podcasts.
Thank you guys so much. Good night.